Is this bitch on?
Somebody talks to you on there?
Yes.
Dang, nobody's ever tried to message me on LinkedIn.
It's like every time I get a message on LinkedIn, it's like always like...
Like outside of like career
growth? Yeah, it's like... Oh, that's annoying. Well, it starts off career and then it's... Takes a right turn somewhere. I don't know where.
Dang, never a left?
No.
I'm on it, but I'm not in it. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Boom.
Exactly that. Don't agree with what he says all the time, Paul. I don't need
George has.
I am so facts. I gotta get more black folks in here. I'm singled out. I'm sick of this.
No, thanks. So. I'm just saying.
Good luck.
I almost said something, but
all right.
No, good. All right.
Well, Sunday morning, coffee talkie back.
It's like episode 5, redo.
Redo.
If you happen to have seen the...
Part 2.
Part 2. There you go. Or redo. It's kind of like part 2. I mean, to do again.
So...
Second time around. Oh, man.
Back again.
Okay, hold on. You shouldn't even be talking yet.
Okay.
Yeah, we got to announce.
Yeah, this is ridiculous.
Because we said we had a guest.
This dude, he got to come in and get the warm-up a couple weeks ago.
Yep.
And now he acts like he's a regular.
Technically, his second podcast.
I'm trying not to cuss today.
Okay.
I'm gonna try not to cuss. There's.
Yeah, we have guests. We have a live audience.
We have a live audience today.
N3 and Brittenaw are in the building.
Yep. N3's underage. N3's underage.
He is.
This is not bourbon talkie, so I'm not too concerned about that. I just don't want his ears to be crispy.
He's also the number one fan.
He is, you know what? He is our number one fan.
Maybe shares it.
I like this guy. Can we talk about his attire real quick?
We can.
Why is N3 looking so dapper?
We have
and sporty. If you
we
must.
Have a golf tournament at noon today.
Oh,
so he has got his best Cobra gear on, representing.
It's almost Florida Gators esque, right? We have that blue and that orange.
He would know better than I do about where Ricky Fowler's from.
So you're dropping some golf names. Yeah. Like, I know that name, actually.
Fowler rocks that orange, like, forever. So that's his favorite golfer.
All right.
Can I speak now?
Not yet. We haven't introduced you.
Well, I'm just going to jump in on that.
Okay, jump in and then I'll introduce you
I
later.
Do actually rock the Ricky Fowler golf shoes when I golf as well. So.
See?
Oh, I thought you were going to say shirt. I was going to say, no way they make it in your size.
Snap. Swole, full-size male.
Arms, chest buttons popping.
Paul, that's full-size male.
Sounds like a fat joke to me.
No, it's not fat. Paul, I've only called you fat like twice in our entire friendship.
I never have.
I don't think I've ever called George fat.
Because I'm not.
I've every other synonym. I go on thesaurus.com. I'm like, what can I call George today?
If he did, it would just be beard envy.
Ooh.
Are you trying to shame
George? No, he just shamed me. Did you hear what he just said about my beard? It was like a... Backhanded, non-compliment.
Technically, but we can save that for later.
All right.
Since I'm not supposed to talk right now.
This might be the ugliest intro ever, but I liked it.
Nope, it's perfect.
So today we have a guest. Well, I mean, aside from our live audience.
We do. Aside from the live audience, we do have a guest.
I'm going to interrupt again like I always do.
Do it.
The live audience thing is kind of tripping me out.
Yeah.
I feel like
we're performing.
Well, my peripheral, I'm seeing them move around. I feel like I have to kind of turn and acknowledge them every now and then, like this, right? Like it's a strange thing. We almost have to face the live audience, you know, like talk shows do. I think almost. No, I mean, we're not doing. You're facing them.
We need some laugh tracks.
Do you want to point and then no. They go ha ha
in the background?
Oh, anyways. So we're back. This is episode 6. It was supposed to be episode 5, but if you care at all about us and our feelings, you will have listened to episode 5 already.
Yep, it was solid.
It was okay.
And
it was I was happy with the content afterwards. I just wasn't happy with the sound ultimately. We were still ironing out some kinks. So
We got some new hardware in the building. We I do. Think it's going to help with that.
We do. This is nice. We got these stands. Like, not only do these provide a wonderful vocal experience, but in a pinch, you could hurt somebody with this thing.
There's some weight,
some weight behind these.
Yeah. Put some hurt on you.
These are built like our guest.
Yes.
Just short and solid.
We should have him introduce himself.
He's not good at introducing himself. You gotta do the sway in the mornings. Ladies and gentlemen, we got a special guest in the building. I've known this young man for 30 years. It's been about 30 years.
It's been 30 years?
Yeah. It's been almost 30 years I've known this guy.
Oh, wow.
Dating ourselves.
I don't care. Anybody that like goes to the Googles to find out who I am, they're going to realize how old I am, so I'm not too worried about it. But yeah, known this guy for a long time. Met him in high school. Played against each other in junior college.
Oh.
Football. That was brief. Then didn't see him for quite a few years, and then ran into him at the gym here in Vegas. 24-hour fitness back in the day.
I like it.
And he was like, "You want to work out?" I was like,
"Did he whisper it like that?"
Almost. Do you hear how he talked on the microphone already? When he's talking, it's still a whisper.
You
want to work out? He's like, "You want to work out?" I was like, "All right, yeah, let's work out." So we like got a couple workouts in, and then we was like, "I don't know, like let's go get some beers, and then like let's hit the club." And then I was his roommate for a while. This guy is one of the most knowledgeable. I don't even know. I'll let him say what his profession is, because last time I think I botched it. And he's like, "You can't say that."
No, we let him. Legal. We need to let him intro.
So, yeah, it's a good guy. All around best friend. That's my best friend. Go best friend. What's that song? Something like that. The young kids know. You know that song?
My buddy song going on right there.
Damn it. My buddy. Like my buddy, like the My Buddy and Me from the 80s. My buddy and me like to climb up a tree.
Is that Teddy Ruxpin?
My buddy, that's right. My buddy and me are the best friends there can be. Anyways, Paul Goodman.
Thanks, guys. That was probably the worst intro.
It was. I didn't take notes or anything, right? No, this is a freestyle. This is a freestyle. Prepared. This is a freestyle. Should have had a beat, George.
So, the world's worst self-promoter, but I wear many hats. Starter, owner, creator of Trainer's Room and trainersroom.com.
Okay. I left that out.
Which is a sports medicine supply and wholesale company that deals with sports-specific training products as well as tape, which we don't have our own lines and brands of tape products that we do.
When you say tape, we're talking about athletic tape.
Athletic tape and the different types of athletic tape that there are. We cater to trainers that actually really care about their athletes and coaches and athletes that care about their own safety as well. That's why we actually came up with the brands, is instead of having the multi-million dollar buying power of a lot of these big corporate conglomerates that are out there, we started off and wanted to be able to supply quality, great supplies for people who were in budget crunches. Because when we started the company, when I started the company, it was in the recession when the market had already tanked. And
it was like 08?
It was 08.
Okay.
Yeah.
And at that time, everybody had cutbacks and was broke and couldn't afford and this and that. And that's when we decided to really step up the game and come out with our own line of products and be able to give better quality products for a cheaper price.
I remember, of course you guys played more football than I did, but I remember sitting in that room, in the trainer's room, getting taped before every practice and game. I'll tell you what, that's the best feeling in the world.
Getting taped?
When somebody tapes it right so you don't roll and mess up ankles.
If you got bad ankles. I hated it. I hated the restriction of tape, but it was necessary.
Oh, the best thing was when you were done and you had that little tool with the knife in it and swooped it. Oh, but no, I love the secure feeling when it was on there, right?
Yeah, having the right product and having the right person, a trainer, PT, whoever else, whoever's taking care of you, coach, having the right person put it on and knowing what they're doing makes all the difference in the world.
I'm pretty sure it was the assistant coach who probably also taught Spanish in our high school. But, I mean, taped a great ankle. I never had any problems.
Well, that's great. That's great. That's my background is athletic training, sports medicine.
Okay.
That's what my degree's in. And I also sit on the board for the Nevada State chapter for strength and conditioning.
Really? Yep. That's fun. So Buck is up in school, and we talked a little bit about him last time. And I'm glad you brought – we'll probably get into that later. But
who's Buck?
Buck is my oldest, dating myself, as a junior at UNR. And he had a lifting competition yesterday.
Really?
He lifted 1,200.
What were his individuals on that? What's the breakdown?
Yeah.
Which lifts?
405 on squat.
Okay.
300 on bench, and 495 on deadlift. And he scored a 1,200.
1,200 club.
He's 5'9".
Is he 5'9"? I thought he was like my height or taller.
Wow. No, I think five, maybe.
I mean, I'm 6'3".
He's maybe my height. He's actually my height.
But he loves the gym, loves everything, and we got into a discussion with Paul last time. He's going to school for kinesiology, physical therapy, and that's right up Paul's alley. But he loves it. He was so excited about, you know, lifting and, you know, loves the form and the whole – everything about physical fitness, all he loves it.
That's great. That's great. The longer he stays in that passion, the better off that he's going to ultimately be.
Because we're gonna get that squat
he can
up.
Take that – the numbers are a work in progress.
We're going to get that squat up, Buck. Yeah.
But as long as he still stays in that and has that passion will come through in whatever else he wants to – whatever avenue he wants to take, whether he – decides to go to physical therapy school or decides he wants to be a personal trainer himself or even if he wants to go into the realm of being a physician or a physician's assistant.
That's what I wanted to bring up to him. Like when he gets back in town after school this year, I want him to sit and like, you know, we'll go have coffee or beer or somewhere. But I definitely want you, if you can, break down to him why – because you got into the insurance behind physical therapy.
Yes.
Compared to a physician's assistant, I had recent experience with a physician assistant, and it was amazing. I had one of the best hospital experiences I've ever had in my life.
Oh yeah. Literally. Is this like you're talking about just recently?
Like last night.
Man, yeah. You got to hear about this dude.
So
you were in the hospital last night.
Yeah, I was, and I made it to the podcast.
Bounce back.
Well, it's not like you got hit by a car.
Let me tell you, I'm not downplaying what it was,
but
let me just because I do have a reference, I have been hit by a car.
This is true.
So
let's put it to you like this: when you did get hit by the car,
didn't feel a thing,
but you weren't going to make it to no podcast.
No, I was not going to make it to a podcast.
That's all I wanted to say.
But no, so my experience, brand new hospital out in Henderson Hospital, it's a great name. Clean, new, we roll up in there. So I woke up Saturday morning, you know, 4:20, everybody was getting stoned. Well, it turns out I was getting kidney stoned.
Oh.
And I had this weird pressure in my kidney, and I never had one before. Never experienced that kind of pain. And then it's just, you know, it's not like a muscle. You pull a muscle, you stretch it out, you can feel it. You kind of know what it is. This is something going on inside, and I can't stretch it out. I can't fix it. I can't push it or poke it or, like, make the pain go away. And we get in. We check in. I sit down. We go back and speak with him. Super nice guy. When he said, I'm a physician's assistant, it clicked with what you were telling me about Buck. And I was like, man. And this dude, hey, if I didn't know better, he was the doctor because this is the guy that told me all the stuff.
Yeah. It seems to be more the route that healthcare really is going lately and probably in the near future where physicians' assistants will be utilized more than doctors themselves.
Yeah.
Because we will actually have a doctor shortage because there was a period of time where med schools were clamping down on letting people in and being very, very restrictive of who was accepted. It wasn't the fact that there wasn't smart people out there that wanted to be the doctors. It was the fact that, well, we have to limit the number of doctors that are coming out for some reason.
I think they can limit that. I mean, tuition for a doctor is unbelievable.
It's outrageous.
You know, but you were telling me.
Not uncommon to come out $100,000 to $150,000 in school debt.
Yeah, that'll scare you for a bit.
Yep.
But no, so yeah, that was my awesome Saturday night. Here, the best part though, from start to finish, we're talking 3 hours. Blood work, not to be gross, urine, and a CAT scan.
Ain't nothing gross about urine.
And I had all three of those done in and out 3 hours. So in ER.
You didn't pass the stone.
What's that?
You didn't pass the stone.
Apparently I have not passed it yet.
TBD.
Yeah, to be determined. We'll probably talk about that next week.
We need to live cast while you're passing it.
So
take that mic in the bathroom with you.
CAT scan found out that there are two making their way to the bladder region. I still had one chilling in the cut in the right kidney. And I think that made its way to the bladder right around 1 a.m. this morning.
What's the cause of these stones? Do we know? Is there a reason behind this? I don't know anything about this.
I know who knows.
There's a ton of theories. And I'll call
so it's still kind of up in the air.
I'll call them that. It's theories. Nobody right. really knows exactly why the body will form stones. Some people will say it's because you don't drink enough water. Well, I know George. George drinks enough water. It could be it's diet problems and this and that. Well, yeah, maybe not. I've known some of the healthiest people in the world. 82%
of America.
I've known some of the healthiest people in the world that have gotten kidney stones.
Right.
You know, other people, some of the smarter theories I've heard out there were people not being able to process the oxalates and the oxalic acid that happens in a lot of fruits, vegetables. Actually, not fruits, veggies and things like that.
George doesn't eat vegetables.
I'm still writing down oxalated acids.
Did you write it? Did you spell it right, do you think?
You know I didn't.
I'm watching you type it. That's entertaining in it on its own.
So oxalates, like, for example, let me break it down for the common.
Oh, yes.
Common folk and common
listener. This is as common as it gets right here. I'm not talking about the listeners. I'm talking about me.
Well, and it kills me because you have a lot of people that are out there, and you see it all the time on social media where they're posting like, oh, I'm doing a green smoothie. I'm putting my raw kale and raw spinach in my smoothie. Yeah. And, oh, this is so good. And I just ate some raw peppers with my hummus. And if you have a genetic mutation where your body doesn't absolutely break down and can process the oxalates correctly, you are now just basically murdering yourself by doing that. Spinach should be cooked.
I like cooked spinach.
Because it reduces the oxalate and it reduces the products that come from that certain vegetable to be processed in the body.
Okay.
Another way to things like kale.
Yeah.
In my opinion, kale's awful for you.
There you go.
It's awful.
It tastes awful.
I actually like the way it tastes.
I've had kale chips that were okay. But I think it was more of the sea salt that was on them than anything. But the kale is super high in oxalates, and it doesn't really break down very well in the body. Yeah, there's a lot of nutritious value to it, but I think in certain people it will actually cause a leaching effect and cause your body to pull calcium out of your bones and also bring up the oxalates, and your body will produce the cause a higher uric acid level in the body. So men, we're already at risk for running gout. So why would we sit there with something that wants to give us a higher, chance of developing another disease?
Because men are pretty dumb when it comes to those types of things.
I'll tell you what, I'm not eating kale. That's an easy one for me. I'm checking that off.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
Done.
There's a lot of things, kale. Spinach, kale, peppers, some bell peppers. fall in that category as well.
All right, I like
bell peppers. But when you cook them down.
Yeah, you roast them.
When you
cook roasted bell pepper, you know, that's good.
You cut them and dip them in ranch.
No, I roast mine most of the time.
Just cook them down.
Okay.
Just
cook them
down. They'd be better in ranch if you just like throw them suckers in the broiler or throw them on the grill, char them up, throw them in the freezer, peel that charred skin, and then now you've caramelized some of the sugars in there too.
I think it's the texture. It's delicious. Of the fresh one.
When you like just that ridge?
Yeah, when they crunch and snap.
Eat a carrot. That's probably. Eat a carrot.
Have some celery.
Yeah, celery. You can floss your teeth at the same time as you eat it.
Another easy trick to do too to help reduce the oxalates. Say you got spinach and you're gonna have spinach for dinner.
Yep.
So instead of cooking it in butter or oil or whatever you want to do, if you want a quote unquote healthier, I won't get into that. I think actually butter is fine, fantastic for your body. As long as it's unsalted, unprocessed, grass-fed butter. But a quick, easy fix is if you're going to boil the spinach and boil it down, just take a calcium capsule and just open it up and
say what?
Calcium in it.
In the water?
Yeah, in the water.
And that does what?
It will actually bind to the oxalates and actually remove them from the spinach.
You guys are getting it. You guys are getting
I thought this show was about coffee.
No. Nope.
What just happened?
Hey, it's breaking it down. So you're telling me, and this is a fact here. Popeye probably had a lot of kidney stones.
His spinach was cooked. No, it was in a can.
But he would also, if he was out of the can.
That was when he was feeling real granola-like. And he had to reach over
pull it out of the ground
every now and then, yeah.
And snap off some
leaves. But that was organic. So, I mean.
Hey. It was uncooked.
Non-GMO.
Non-GMO. Now, Bluto, on the other hand.
Oh, Bluto, yeah.
Yeah. Doritos.
He was hitting that glute.
Yeah, with raw bell peppers. Mm-hmm. He was putting all that in the ranch.
Lots of ranch.
Yeah, lots of ranch. For sure. What about olive oil? What was she eating?
She ain't my style. She's way too thin.
She had autoimmune
issues,
I think, if you look at her.
Probably some eating
disorders. Something's not right.
She didn't even have joints.
What did she have?
She had that little thing for
like
an elbow.
Like golf balls?
She had a little thing for an elbow, but it didn't bend. It was just, her arms were just round, kind of. It's weird.
Hmm.
The way they drew her was awkward.
Yeah, that bun was fierce.
Yeah.
Kind of put a balding pattern.
Yeah.
Ruined her edges.
I don't know if I was down with olive oil. She's not my type.
The voice. She was kind of like Archie Bunker's wife with that voice.
Get out of here with that.
You know what I'm saying? Once again, dating ourselves.
Wow.
Well, that was, by the way, that was a hell of an intro.
Yeah.
That segued into something way more serious.
Sorry.
That's okay. I learned a lot because I didn't know that.
I'm cooking the hell out of my spinach.
Get some calcium. Ike, when you say that, what are you going to do with it?
I'm going to eat it after I cook it.
How you going to cook it?
I'm going to put some calcium in the water with my little tablets.
Okay.
And then I'm going to bind out that oxalate.
Mm. It sounds like you took notes.
Please. Then I'm going to put that pasture butter all over it.
There you go.
Just dip it in pasture butter.
Delicious.
I'm getting hungry right now.
Go ahead and cook down your butter, clarify it, make you some pasture ghee. Mm. Just dip your spinach all up in it.
God, this sounds great. You know, I'm doing all of this.
All of it.
I'm doing all of it.
So today, what about let's jump into the coffee real quick.
Oh, yeah. We should.
I don't want this coffee to be gone by the time we get to it, and we're kind of.
Yeah, we're killing it. So we picked Black Rifle Coffee. Black Rifle Coffee Company, specifically for Paul, because I believe Paul introduced this coffee to Greg about.
Paul was talking
how
about
long
it.
Ago? Roughly.
I don't know. It had been a while ago. It was back when they did their big promo run with the commercials that were running. Okay. Remember their Facebook? We talked about the commercials, how, you know, you jump out, you fire your M60, you drink some coffee.
Yep.
And then you wear a bikini and you drink some coffee.
Mm.
And then you shoot your target. And then you roast some beans and you drink some coffee.
I love it.
That's kind of how the commercial. I can't really explain the commercial. It's kind of like Team America Force, but for coffee. You know, it's America. Fuck yeah.
Yep.
Dang it. You guys got me. I cussed.
You did it.
Broke your own rule.
Sorry. N3 had his headphones in.
So here's the best part. Paul actually met, and I believe it's the founders.
Yes, I actually had the pleasure of meeting all the gentlemen and ladies involved with Black Rifle Coffee, which in turn turned me on to their coffee and became a huge fan immediately. veteran-owned company, which they also have a program and where they help mentor other veterans that want to start their own business and might not have the knowledge or the whereabouts of how, what, where, and when of things to do to start their own business, which I thought was really cool because they actually will walk them through the whole way and actually give them business and financing mentorship and teaching them on how to basically run a successful business.
That's incredible. So what I did is we went online and purchased the 4 coffee fuel pack. It came with, let me see, I got my notes here. Beyond Black, Silencer Smooth, there's an Espresso Roast, and it's Beyond Black, and then...
It's Beyond Black.
Just Black.
Just Black.
Just Black. Silencer Smooth. And the Espresso Roast was like AK Espresso Roast or something?
AK-47.
Yeah.
Is the tool. Don't make me act up. Fool.
Freedom's got an AK.
Ooh, that might be the best. Lynch Mob.
I can tell you right now that the Just Smooth, fantastic coffee.
It was... Just Smooth.
That's what we drank and what was supposed to be.
Was really good.
Silencer Smooth.
That's actually what I drink every morning.
Yeah, and that was, we drank that on the first try at this podcast. Mm-hmm. And obviously having to be doing
it. Is that what we had? We had Silencer Smooth
on the first one. And that was a great coffee. It was delicious. It was awesome.
That was good.
And since then, took the bags home and we busted into... which one did we do you brew this morning?
Just Black.
No.
Oh, you mean the Beyond first Black. One? No, but
the first one you did today.
Beyond Black.
Okay.
I just opened that bag, it was still sealed.
So I think you just did some Just Black.
This
now.
Is Just Black now.
This bag was almost gone when I brought it today. Reason being is this is my favorite coffee out of the complete Mission fuel kit.
Really?
It is.
You like it more than Silencer?
Oh yeah. Oh, it's when you brew it, the smell, everything now, and then I mean drink it black, put a little bit of cream in there. It's delicious. And I can tell you this Beyond Black now actually tastes better as it cooled down.
Yes.
It's got some
okay, harsh I'm gonna be forthcoming. Here's what happened with this coffee. I love the first time did we say it was the Silencer Smooth?
Silencer Smooth was the first try.
I love that coffee. This Just Black, pretty darn good too. That Beyond Black is just beyond for me. Yeah. I have a tough time with almost any type of dark coffee because I just think it's difficult for any roaster to really get it dark and not get to that point where the oil extraction begins to happen on the bean. And that was just, I'm not for too much of that bitterness in my coffee. Yeah. That being said, it was better than most dark roasted coffees that I've had.
Yes.
And I'm going to qualify that also by saying I just don't drink a lot of dark roasted coffee anymore in general. It's been quite a few years since I've done that. But as of recent, that was still better than most dark roast coffees. It's just not my cup of tea, for the pun's sake.
And I haven't cracked into the AK.
Yeah, but that just wasn't going to carry the same tone. So it was kind of it was like a double entendre, right? It was like, oh, he's using the wrong metaphor. But, oh, I get it, because they're drinking coffee, not tea.
Understood.
We're going to have a tea episode, by the way, because really? It's the anti-coffee. You know what they say? The only problem with tea is it tastes like tea.
It's true. I've heard that.
I made the mistake one time of actually taking a big scoop of matcha powder.
Okay, yeah.
And mixing that with my coffee.
What happened? I've never had matcha, by the way.
A whole lot of caffeine.
Yeah.
And it was way too much.
Like that uncomfortable.
It was an uncomfortable. I got uncomfortable with the caffeine, how it hit, how so fast, so hard. It was a coffee. If you like green tea taste, it was a coffee with an extreme green tea
edge
aftertaste.
Oh, gotcha.
And it hurt.
Oh, my gosh.
It hurt?
It hurt.
Like body hurt, or what are you talking about?
It was just a rough go.
When you have too much caffeine, what it does? Oh, the flavor. I was talking about like when you said uncomfortable. Like when I have too much caffeine, it hits my nervous system.
When the caffeine hit and it hit extra hard, it was You know, you get that feeling like your blood sugar just drops.
Yep.
And you get sweaty. Yep. You're all jumpy.
That's what you said after drinking the Beyond Black. Didn't you say you were starting to get a little sweaty? Oh,
I got sweaty after the first three sips of it. It punched. I mean, yeah, if you need a fix, Beyond Black will get you there.
It's 100%. I'm on my second cup of it. I'm just, it's fine for me. It's fine for me.
I'm going to take your blood pressure after this. You might be dead.
No.
I'm beating up right now just thinking about that first cup right now.
It's good, though. We need to get some kind of a espresso. I don't have an espresso machine.
It would be nice to get one.
But to try that AK to see how it is. I do have, you said, we said the name of it on like the first podcast, the silver thing that's kind of funky. It's got a big base, then it goes small, and then it comes out big again. Komodo? Whatever that device is.
You mean a mocha pot?
Yes.
You got a mocha pot. Gotcha. Yes. Yeah, definitely.
We got like three of those at the house now.
Fire that sucker up.
I think we need to get a hot pot or a hot plate. Hot plate.
Yeah, do some test runs. Do some test runs at the house first.
Yeah, but try that out, see how it goes. But I tell you what, my favorite bag in here, if you're going to get some Just Black, I'm telling you what, that's my favorite in here. Silencer Smooth is still good, but Just Black, drink it black, a little bit of cream, whatever. It's delicious.
See, I got turned on with the Silencer Smooth because in speaking with the guys and picking their brains, and I told them, I said, you know, naturally I run a high uric acid level. So I have to be very cautious with what kind of coffee that I take in.
Gotcha.
Because there's certain type of beans that will actually raise your uric acid level up, and then I'll have a gouty type flare up, and it'll take almost 3-4 days for that to clear off. So in talking with him, he recommended using the Silencer Smooth to do a cold brew, and I've done that for weeks, and delicious, absolutely delicious.
Yeah.
And then he also said that, you know, the Silencer Smooth runs less acidic, and stick with that. And I've been just drinking it ever since.
Oh, that was a super clean cup.
Yeah.
It really, I mean, that's, I think, the best way to, it's one of the cleanest cups of coffee I've had.
It's good.
So, yeah.
So Greg brewed up some of the Just Black way we have left.
Right. This is like in between. So you have the Silencer Smooth, then the Just Black, then the Beyond Black. That's kind of our levels here.
And I just took a brand new swig of the Just Black. It's my favorite.
Yeah. Wait, we hit all points on the spectrum with this.
Everything. I'm glad we got to try all three.
Yeah. Ultimately, right?
Yeah.
Big fan of the Black Rifle guys.
So. And you know, I like to always talk about the packaging and everything on this. And I think we discussed this earlier. You guys just didn't get to hear it, but you know, it's really cool the way they stay on brand. I'm always impressed with companies, you know, keeping their brand message alive, not just through their products, but through their visuals as well. And the bags, you know, you have these black bags that have, you know, gold inked lettering on them, and this pattern of different types of guns.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a gun repeating pattern, you know, different types of guns and stuff like that. So it's really cool. It's a really awesome package. And I think they've got a pretty solid base of coffees to offer. You know, and I know you do. George likes guns too.
I do.
We are gunnies.
I'm not. Just not a gun guy.
N3's pretty good shot.
N3's like the all around.
Yeah. He doesn't like the AR. It's just too loud. He never liked loud noises.
No.
But
that goes away after a while.
He'll mess up a target with a 9 like you wouldn't believe. There's no reason to shoot beyond 10, 15 feet. So
he's playing video games, right?
Yeah. He's pretty good. So
he's better than me. I don't know nothing.
I love it. There's a great photo of the entire crew. If you get a chance, you go online. They took a great team photo with all their team people and everything. You know, just being a bearded man myself, I'm always looking to see how the beard game goes. But
military. Oh well, girl, watch out, military beard game right there, fam.
Well, I depending on what branch, I don't even know if you're allowed to have.
Depends on where you're deployed, right? Like, so when they were in the Middle East, they made some exceptions for them when they were doing a lot of their patrols and things like that.
I remember my pops had to, he would like grow it out a little bit and then have to shave it for when he was doing reserves.
Right.
He would have to shave it all off and then.
My buddy Bryson had to do the same thing, actually, because he was reservist for a while for the Marines.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what the rules and regulations are for
branches. Don't know.
I just know that they tend to have to shave. I think it's pretty regular, right? I can't say that I really know of too many guys that have ever been in the field and carried their beard unless they were some type of special ops.
Don't know. I don't even know anybody that does that.
No. I wish somebody would message. I told you. That's what I like about this podcast. I will get messages of people correcting me on stuff. So it's kind of cool because I learn. I don't know what I'm talking about half the time. I'm just talking. And no, so people hit me up. They're like, hey, by the way, you're wrong. It's this. And I'm like, all right, cool. So
I love it.
So if you guys know better than me, which you probably do.
Hit us up. CoffeeTalkie.com.
Let me know.
So obviously it's not a direct thing, but those that are on social media, something that swept through Twitter yesterday, and I know Paul came in and mentioned it, Kanye West tweeting out about Candace Owens. She's a anchor on Fox News, and normally social people, Fox News isn't depending on which side you're on, isn't really played up well, or depending on, like, again, which side you're on. But Kanye West tweeted out that he loves the way Candace Owens thinks, and it sent a tizzy through Twitter, because I mean I don't know for any other reason other than, you know, just not supposed to like anything connected to, right. At least if you're a musician, you tell me, if you're a musician, you're not supposed to, you know, be down with that side.
You're a musician, you talk
stuff
about whatever you want to talk about. That's the, you're an artist, right?
Yeah.
So your word can never be held against you. That's kind of an issue at times.
She replied she loved it.
Of course she did.
Yeah, she loved it.
What if you just said, I think Candace Owens is stupid? Well, how would she
reply? She probably would have too. But
exactly. So,
yeah,
I mean.
It was, I thought it was funny because you were saying too, he went and deleted all his old tweets.
Listen, I forget why I jumped on Twitter the other day and went to Kanye's account. Somebody mentioned something to me about, I don't remember what it was. I can't. So I'm not going to go down that path. But I get on, he's got 61 posts.
Was it the death of mumble rap post?
I didn't see that one yet. So this was before that. So he had like 61 posts. And they were just shoes.
I'm not a shoe guy. I'm not a sneaker guy.
Bro, this dated to like 4 days ago. So he deleted every single thing he had done prior, right? And now he's just trying to promote his shoes. And he's got a new album coming out soon. So he's popping off. So you ain't heard from Kanye in a year and a half.
No.
So this is just promo stuff. This is, you know, fashion line coming out. This is album coming out, Kanye, we're getting right now.
Yeah.
I like Kanye when he wore a backpack. That's the Kanye I liked. I liked the first three albums. That's the Kanye I like. The old Kanye. Like, he talks, yeah, I did like the old Kanye. I'm an old-ass dude, though.
You can't really say, though, I like Kanye back when he was humble, because I don't remember.
Oh, I didn't say when he was humble. Yeah, I said when he wore a backpack, though. Yeah,
back in the day.
He was never humble.
No.
And that was what was great, though, because he's part of The Rock. And The Rock wasn't about being humble.
Those first three albums?
Three albums, bro.
Loved them.
Come on.
Great.
Graduate, Late Registration. What was the other one? He's getting shot out of cannon. They're just great albums.
Yeah. No, it was good.
We got into what? Which one was it? 808 and Heartbreaks?
Yeah. I think,
started getting experimental, which, good for him. That's fine. If you feel like you're not going anywhere.
My opinion on that is he had maybe a four-album deal with his label or whatever and needed to pump out
to
meet his contract?
I think it was different. I think it was just you get to a point where you've done it already, and I think he reached that quickly in his career. I think he was on the most popular rap label out there.
Do you think, was that shortly after the whole Amber Rose thing too?
You know, I don't.
Because he calls 808 Heartbreaks. I'm wondering.
I thought that was My Dark Twisted Beautiful Fantasy was post Amber Rose.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. I tell you all what, she's.
We're getting a little into this, but anyway. So,
talk about music. So
yeah. Anyway, yeah. So anyway, whatever. We always have to take what Kanye says with a grain of salt anyways, right? He just gets loud when it's time to promote something.
Yeah.
And I'm not mad at him. It's smart. That's what you do. Cool.
I mean, I've never gotten into the whole left or right on the politics deal. I mean, personally, I'm registered and nonpartisan.
Yeah, same here.
And I believe in the best person for the best job. Yeah. And I think party politics has ruined our country. I mean, if you look at it historically, the two oldest and rival gangs in this country.
Absolutely.
Are Republicans and Democrats.
It's interesting that they happen to be red and blue, right?
Exactly.
Exactly. I think party politics as a whole is awful, and it has kind of led to the demise of a little bit of the values of our country.
So essentially, when you say things like that, so what are the values of our country, right? Being such a mixed pot these days.
Well, I think now, if you're a person that, it almost seems like everything that was taboo back then is now pushed to be accepted.
back then, are we going to say like turn of the century?
Say like the 60s.
Okay.
50s, 60s, that type of deal. You know, where it's almost, I mean, you're getting a lot of people out there that are getting their political information from networks.
Yeah.
Right? Whether it's Fox, CNN.
100%.
Whatever it is. And by the way, this is the same networks that are letting you know what Kanye is doing or letting you know what.
They're thirsty.
Who's the one that just had the baby? Khloe Kardashian.
OJ's daughter?
And she's the reason why she's, what, 6'1"?
She'll kick my ass. Edit that out.
But I'm just saying, like, people are forming they're getting their education from something that's being fed to them for a reason.
Yeah. Here's my take on that, right? So George and I actually talked about this when social media was bubbling up.
Yeah.
We started to see the networks clamoring to report Twitter news. If it broke on Twitter, the networks jumped on it to grab it because their ad dollar was squeezed by the introduction of social networks. So now this is why if you turn the news on, you're going to get a minimum of 12 minutes of social media news. It's ridiculous.
I mean, I understand some of the stuff from Twitter because Twitter, I mean, it spreads like wildfire. I mean, it's fast.
Well, you know what the good thing, what I liked about the best analogy of Twitter, like Gary Vaynerchuk talks about all the social media, but he says Twitter is like the water cooler of social media. It's where everybody hangs out and discusses what's going on and they get their gossip and like it filters through fast.
Big fan of Gary V, by the way.
I am too. He's going to be on the show. I've said that several times, I think.
For real?
Oh, I don't know, but I just know. I mean,
you got to throw it out there.
He's going to be on the show. Don't worry. We're going to have Gary V on the show.
If he's going to be on the show,
I promise
I'm getting the audio engineer in here.
I'm telling you right now, Gary V will be on our show.
That's dope.
I promise you that.
You heard it here first.
I'd love to be a guest. Well, good. Alongside.
Sure.
I love the way the guy thinks. I really do.
He's just great. Even if you just, he's wordy, he's talkative, he's loud, but his message is just simple and clear. That's the best part about it. If you don't sit there and, oh my God, this guy talks so much, or oh, he said this before. And it's like, he says it the best. He's like, hey, he goes, I give you the blueprints to everything I do. Just 99% of you are too lazy to act.
Right.
You're just too lazy to execute. That's all it is. He's like, the answer's out there. He's like, it's not even just me. He's like, the answers are out there. You know what it is you got to do to succeed in A, B, and C. He's like, but you won't even get past the first step because you want to sit back. Woe is me. And it's true. I think everybody's guilty. I'm guilty of it. I did it for 10 years while I was working in the corporate world still. Oh, I'm going to this job and I'm not getting a pay raise. And, you know, whose fault is it?
Right.
It's my fault. It's not there. They don't owe me anything. They just owe me for what I signed up to. And if I delivered what I was told to do and they said they were going to pay me this much, that's what they owe me. That's it.
You and I had that conversation when I had gotten out of corporate healthcare.
Yeah, when you left like NovaCare and all that stuff?
When I left.
Or Keith.
Names to protect the innocent.
I'm not going to say any of the last. There you go.
But
you could beep that if we need to.
Jenkins.
No, but you know, a lot of people become paralyzed because because our mind is a very tricky thing, right? Because there's no such thing as really motivation. I hate when people say, "Oh, I stopped working with this trainer because he really didn't just motivate me." Well, wait, hold on a second. Motivation is up to you. Motivation is just the simple fact that you didn't make it important to yourself.
Yes.
I mean, if you make it important to yourself and you make it something that you are going to become obsessed with,
right?
Do you don't need that motive? Your motivation's already there,
right?
Right. But our minds and our brains are very tricky as far as what we like to do and what our brains are programmed to do already. That's comfortable.
I think that's a huge word right there. Program.
It's programming.
It starts when you're a child with your parents setting a routine for, you know, just even being in diapers, take a nap, get this is when the bottle comes. This is, and that goes on through how you are when you're raised, when you're in school. What's the routine? What's the program?
Right.
What's your reaction to it? How do you fare in that environment? I think that's a huge part, a very huge part. And when I played football and got done, I fell into a state of depression because I realized nobody was telling me what to do and when to be somewhere to do that thing.
Right.
I remember I'd go to class, I'd go into the lunchroom, chop it up with a few people, they'd leave, go to class, go to practice, whatever, and I'd be hanging out in the student union, like, what am I going to do? What do I do now? I have 7.5, 8 hours more free time in the day. Nobody's telling me to show up, to do this, to eat that, to lift over here. I was lost.
Yeah, college football is hard in that aspect. When I went through the same thing. When I got done playing ball, it was like, man, it was almost like you have to reprogram yourself to be able to be functional in everyday life.
In regular life, yeah. It was very much.
And I think that's why so many people get so stuck in their routines and their jobs.
Because they're scared.
And they just live to work for the weekends.
Yeah.
And why? Why aren't you enjoying your life? Why are you not doing the things that you want to do? Why? Because you feel uncomfortable. Because it's your mind is already programmed that it's safe for you to just show up.
Right.
And just do your job.
And you're still going to get that check every other Friday.
Get your check.
Yeah.
And you can go home.
Yeah.
When it's time to go home. When I started Trainer's Room, I was working 17, 18 hours a day.
I remember that.
I've never worked so long, so hard, but it didn't feel like work. It really didn't.
Right. And that's the best thing is when it doesn't. So if we have to be transparent, right? Like that's kind of what this podcast is. It's not work. This is fun.
It is
fun. But the amount of time we put into this and the thought and the planning and the hardware and the coffee and the notes, it's like a part-time job.
Yeah,
it really is. No, it really is. Yeah. I sit there and, you know, when George gets done, you know, doing the post and he sends me the final file, then I'm like, oh, I got to get the graphics done. And then I go through and I get all the graphics done. And then I get the show notes and I clean the show notes up and we get those on the website that we worked on. And then I get everything scheduled to go out on social media. And I'm like, I spent 20, 25 hours this week on this, you know, between the two of us working on this podcast. But
you know what?
There's no friction because I love it.
Exactly. That's the reason why it's going to succeed.
There's no friction. Well, yeah, absolutely.
To me, and we were talking about this on the ride over here, when you look at the notes, people who are listening to this, there's like two people that downloaded in India or the Philippines.
Lithuania is actually on our analytics.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't know anybody in Lithuania. Like, how did they come across it? How'd they get it?
I just think it's a simple, generic, it's coffee, right?
Yeah.
Coffee is a universal thing. It'd be a lot, you know, if we kind of delved a lot deeper into a subgenre or a very niche channel, you know, oh, Transformers 86 to 89. That's all we're going to talk about because those are the best Transformer years. Who knows? Maybe that's universal too. But I'm just trying to kind of come up with an example. I mean, coffee is just, it's second to water.
I'm only laughing because I know you know.
What's funny, as I started thinking in my head, I mean, that had to be when the Insecticons came out within that time range, right? They were the best.
I knew you knew what that was. That's great.
So anyways, yeah, that was, man, that was a hell of a, we kind of
went off the,
but you know, talking back to Kanye and Candace Owens, I don't watch Fox. I don't watch news anymore in general. I can't even say I watch CNN, MSNBC, or any of that.
In Vegas, and I don't think it was widely broadcasted, but maybe on local Vegas news. Someone told me that they caught the dude that capped a couple people at a barbecue at Sunset Park.
Venetian.
Hotel.
Yeah, I forgot about it.
It was the.
I didn't read about it. I think Marcus.
I think my son told me about it.
Yeah, no. I the reason I heard about it is just through some of the people that I deal with on a daily basis, and they actually knew the two people that were murdered.
He killed some people when he shot
him. I guess the guy showed up to the Venetian Company picnic.
Mm-hmm.
And just walked right up, and he shot and killed number one and number two, basically heads of table games.
Oh my God! So he's a disgruntled employee, or
yeah, it turns out that he's he worked there. I don't know if he was a dealer or what, but he was definitely a disgruntled guy, and he knew exactly who
he knew he was going to shoot. Yep.
Yeah,
and they caught him like 2 days ago, like Friday.
Where was he at?
Texas.
Texas, that's right.
Dude, roll.
Why do people? I don't plan on murdering anybody, but why do people stay in the country? Like, they can't, there's not a way to get out pretty quickly. I get so confused by that. Why people decide to hang around after they commit these heinous crimes.
The dude's still alive. Right. Which, when you look at everything else going on, just end him. Like, well, I don't know. But anyway, that's a whole other subject. So, dude does what he did, drives to the airport, had a burner car waiting there, so he parked the car he was in. They think he jumped on a plane and got out, and then go in the parking garage, he grabs another car, and then gets on the road. I guess he stole some license plates in St. George or Utah or something, and then bounced to Texas.
So he had that plan.
And they were running, just randomly running plates in Texas, saw the plate.
There he is.
Put it together, and then I think the dude was sleeping in the car, and they got him.
Wow. Fair enough.
Like, that's, but anyway, that stuff, like you were saying, now I watch new, I didn't see
it. My son mentioned it to me. Yeah. And I was I didn't even know.
I'm hearing this elaborate story. I'm like, man. So
I think we talked about this before. My problem with news these days, I think I said this about music a while back. I think it was to Todd.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? I almost preferred it when there was only a handful of labels and they told me what I was going to listen to. They told me I was going to listen to Michael Jackson. The radio station told me I was going to listen to Madonna. The MTV told me I was going to watch this Prince video. Mm. I almost preferred it that way. And so now with the news, there's so many problems. But one of my biggest problems why I won't look at local news, I try to go to the website. First of all, you try to watch the show. And again, Kim Kardashian? What? No. I'll get on Twitter if I want to see what Kim Kardashian is doing. I want to see what's going on in the news. And so then you go to their website. And they have websites. They're so heavy with ad serves.
Yeah, it's bad.
And the page reloads, and you can't. Yeah. They're so hungry for that for a dollar. You know, it just sucks. It's almost like I would. No, I wouldn't do it. I was gonna say I would almost say I would pay a subscription fee, but I don't think the quality of news would increase at all.
We got into that the other day about
it wouldn't increase the quality of it. Right. Yeah. There's, my God. Yeah, writers.
There's no
reading an article is painful these days.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, let's be real. There's no neutrality with news nowadays. Right. It's all networks that need ratings.
That's exactly what it is.
They need ratings. They need ads. They need. Why else do you have all these different news people that are now supposedly like celebrities?
Right.
Whatever happened to just reporting the news?
Right.
You notice their Twitter handle is underneath their names.
Yes.
Every one of them.
And it's gotten to the point, and I think it's happening now. What you just said is where they want you to, you should be told what to listen to. You should be told what, I think it's happening now more than ever.
Maybe it is. Maybe I'm just so bitter that I avoid, I don't. You know what I mean? Yeah,
you've
shut
already
up.
Disconnected.
Shut up.
It.
Yeah.
So, I'm the exact same way. I very rarely watch news at all. I do watch the stock market because I do play in the stock market.
That's totally different though.
But that's basically where I get most of my news from. Is just
the good news about the stock market is that it's numbers.
Yeah.
News. It's what color is Taylor Swift's hair?
Yeah. Whether it's completely manipulated or not, that's a different topic.
But yes, absolutely.
I think she's still blonde.
Numbers don't lie.
No, I couldn't think of another celebrity. I didn't want to give the Kardashians another plug.
No, please. For the love of God. I just spend most of my time just like reading stuff. I mean, just reading stuff that will affect my life. Learning new things.
I can't read anymore. I fall asleep right away.
But I listen to audiobooks, but I want to point out, Paul's has a book on the desk, right. And you was talking about reading, so I'm assuming you want to...
I didn't even see that book there.
We talked about it before we started.
Oh, that's shady.
I was curious what it was.
Books that I've read it once before already, but I like going back to certain people and certain books and rereading, so you can pull, almost like watching a movie or a comedy movie over again, so you can
Dumb and Dumber
find a little something that's even more funny each time. Yes. I do the same thing with books, and I'm reading the book by Dr. Amy Yasko, and reading her, actually she has a series of them about nutrigenomics.
What's nutrigenomics?
Nutrigenomics is basically utilizing nutrition on how to have your body work and be the best body it can be, basically.
Okay.
To using nutrition to make you the healthiest possible person that you could be.
So, and this is me being ignorant. I have not read the book.
Yeah, that's what, without getting too technical.
But so like what, okay, so what would be like, could you explain maybe just an overview of what the basic steps would be? Are we weighing like, you know, our blood work against how we're making changes in our nutrition? And is this kind of like a, oh, what's your blood type of diet would this be?
Not necessarily. What it does is it looks more of your genetic code and your genetic makeup. And then using your genes and whatever gene mutations you have, mm-hmm, in order to express and have those genes work efficiently.
Gotcha.
And not against other genes.
Okay.
She's done remarkable work in the fields of methylation cycle, which basically is how the body can process and detox and be efficient in all the cellular processes.
And you described this to me, I think it was a few months ago when you were getting ready to give a talk somewhere.
Right. I gave a talk at the state convention for strength conditioning.
Gotcha. And he was trying to describe the methyl process to me, and it's a lot of I was like, oh, is this like the Krebs cycle? I don't know if you remember, like in basic biology, they had the Krebs cycle with
Greg,
the
ADP. I would like to go on note, I do not remember any part of biology or chemistry or physics.
So anyways, it was a lot more detailed than the basic Krebs cycle, I think,
right,
if I'm not mistaken. And it's probably a lot more than we would have time to talk about in this podcast. But
well, the best way to really describe it is like cogs on a wheel. Okay, we're on a clock.
Okay.
Okay, so you have the cogs, and they all connect to each other, and they make each other move. Well, same goes on with our genes, where if one's working right, the other one's working right, and then it goes to another one. And then if that one's working right, then it goes to another one. And if this one is not being supported and it's not working right, then it's causing another piece of another cog to have to kick in or take up the slack.
Gotcha.
So basically, it's getting all the cogs on your wheel
right
intact and work.
That description you just gave. That being said, is there a point where having issues with a cog or a sprocket lower on the totem pole in the machine is going to cause greater problems? You see what I'm saying? Is if it's working like a chain?
Yeah. Well, we'll just go right back to the oxalates. If you have a genetic mutation where your body doesn't, or has a hard time, mm-hmm, processing oxalates, then that's going to affect those cogs on a wheel, which is going to lead to other things like fibromyalgia, gout,
right,
things of that nature.
It's a domino effect, yeah, exactly, in a way. Okay, exactly. Gotcha.
Every time I hear genetic mutation, I think of X-Men, and I'm kind of jealous that I don't
have when one. I listen.
So I want to be a superhero.
I used to, I mean, bro, even like when I was in high school still, I'm like, man, I'm like, can I
get supposed exposed to happen around 16?
Can I get some gamma radiation and not die but be like the Hulk?
I've been trying to hack and increase my brain function for a little while now.
I need to do that because mine's turning into Jell-O pudding.
And this, I was gonna go into something too, because I know you brought up Trainer's Room, and it, Trainer's Room deals in the physical, like tape,
right,
wraps, all those things for helping you perform physically. But is there going to be a segue at some point into Trainer's Room protein, Trainer's Room pre-workout?
You know what? The supplement market is so oversaturated. You have so many different brands of this and offshoots of that. I mean, how many pre-workouts do you really need?
I think a lot of it's white labeled, really.
A lot of this stuff is all manufactured in the exact same place.
Right.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
And it's just whoever's little formula goes this way, well, that's going to be my brand. My formula, well, I have like 0.5 more milligrams of citrulline malate in my pre-workout. And so this is going to be my formula, my brand. In short, no. What I found very interesting is there is actually a company out of Canada now that will actually, and this is the next step for me to get into, is they will take your genetic data and they will actually formulate a custom supplement off of your genetic data.
For like everything one supplement or like a supplement regimen per se?
It's basically one supplement gets shipped to you. They're capsules.
Okay.
And then in these capsules, they basically contain the amount of everything that you need to sustain and help your basically cogs on your wheel.
What's the name of this company? Do you know off the top of your head?
I don't. I have to actually look it up.
All right. Well, you
it's in my email because they actually.
Yeah, I have a note because I kind of want to do this.
Yeah. I have a friend of mine that actually is doing it right now, and I'm waiting to hear back his feedback on how he feels on the supplement for
Two,
3 months before actually jumping in and actually promoting.
All right,
well, I actually have it in my notes on my phone right now, but I don't want to plug something.
That's fine. We'll wait on that. Quality. We'll revisit that later. Episode 27.
I like it.
That's going to be 27.
I don't know.
Well, I don't know.
I don't know, but it's good. It's a good.
Can't have you back too soon.
No.
The fans will revolt.
They will.
Big old greatest.
And
three people on the show all the
I
time.
I really think this going guy. From episode 6 to 27 gives people a chance to look up all of the names that you dropped in this episode.
It's like the game CD. Hey. Dr. Dre.
Oxalate.
Kicked it with so-and-so. Dropping more names than the game.
Let me tell you. What was the word you put on us last time?
Mitotoxins.
Mitotoxins.
We didn't even talk about mitotoxins.
Well, that's trust me.
We gotta get into the mitotoxins if we're talking coffee talk.
This might be how we cap the show. We gotta, go ahead. So, spit game about. So, this is part of why we talked about Black Rifle Coffee. Exactly. Actually, we planned the episode around this because we get to talking about, coffee is so much more than just your end product, right? There's so much more work and so many different processes that happen before you open that bag,
grind it and
brew your beans.
And I'm not going to get too into it, but we looked up, there's a Kickstarter project. They just hit their goal like yesterday, but it's a home
roasting.
Roasting mechanism. There'll be a link in the show notes, but Paul brought up, because we talked about who would even consider trying to roast at home, and Paul brought up the fact that you really need to be careful with the beans because of the process of going through and getting rid of mitotoxin. Make sure you don't have it. And I'll let Paul.
Right. Mitotoxins, basically, like if anybody has had a cup of coffee and then that coffee didn't do anything, it actually made you more tired. And then you went for a second cup and that didn't do anything. And then you went for a third cup and that didn't do anything. Next thing you know, you're just feeling more awful and awful and awful. Well, the chances are that those beans from that roast that you're having right now were basically affected with mitotoxins. With mitotoxins are basically the bad of mold and mold toxins. And they cause things like brain fog, lethargy. Even some people actually get headaches and flu-like symptoms when they're actually exposed to
mitotoxins. I've had that a few times. To be honest with you, I felt all of that after having sometimes drinking different types of coffee.
Right.
And I always thought, might just be my allergies kicking up and stuff like that. And it wasn't until a short while ago that I thought, it was probably about 6-7 years ago when I was reading an article talking about what Paul knows a lot. He would be able to pull more from an article than I did at the time. And I started reading about how there can be mold, these mitotoxins in the process of, when they get the beans and they dry them and they wash them and all that, how that can be in the coffee and that could affect your mood and your feeling. And I started paying attention and realizing that there's some coffees out there that I'm almost guaranteed to get those feelings with.
If you trust the FDA, which I wholeheartedly don't.
Just another corporate interest group.
The FDA has set limits as far as what's an acceptable level, just like they do with everything. Mm-hmm. What's an acceptable level of
rat feces in your cereal,
in your fish now,
right?
Which they just increased. I mean, no thanks.
Yeah.
So basically, they have a set limit amount of how much mitotoxins can be in a coffee or allowed in processed coffee beans.
What is it like? What's the measurement they use? Is it like per gram or something?
I think it's like nano. It goes into like almost nanograms. That's how bad the shit is.
Okay. Wow.
And which, stepping back and looking at it, how can they actually regulate every single thing and find all what levels of what are really in it? I mean, to be honest, can they actually keep that regulated to the T to keep us safe?
Probably no, not. That's a lot of coffee to be pulling samples on every month.
Yeah, and then you're also dealing with you know, some people out there that actually are just going directly from the farm and coming right yeah. to their door.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, the FDA hasn't checked that yet. Yeah. Wait a minute. What are we going to do? That's why I was kind of a fan of the home roaster, because then I can take those beans and I can soak them to actually help eliminate the mitotoxins.
Yeah, you mentioned something about soaking helps pull the mitotoxins. Right. Because it's not necessarily you're going to pick a bean up and look at it and go, oh, this is okay.
And it's not just the beans either. It can be almonds. It can be nuts.
Right, right.
Any nuts. Like, right. I always, if I ever buy fresh almonds from the store, I will always just throw them in a bowl and let them soak for...
Like overnight, you
know,
or?
Overnight or 2 days.
Okay.
And then I pull it out and then I roast them.
Gotcha. There's a drying period too. Do you like pull them out, let them dry before you roast them, or do you roast them? Do they retain water?
They will retain a little bit of water. I let them dry out a little bit. In Vegas, it's very easy to, you know, just the drying process goes very fast with that.
It's like that scene in Terminator when the nuclear bomb drops and holding on to the gate. It's like Vegas in the summer, mm-hmm. right? You got the shower, just skin start cracking.
It is. That's a trip. Yeah, you were saying that because the green beans came over. And then you said the soaking process, so the water pulls out?
The water will help pull out. And some people say, well, you know, throw a little bit of vinegar in it mm-hmm. as well for the vinegar to help aid in the process.
On anything or just the raw material, like raw almonds, raw beans, raw anything?
I think it's more just the raw.
Okay.
I think once it's roasted, it's kind of...
Yeah, it's there.
It's cooked it. In, yeah. per se.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I think you're in a situation where there's not much going to come across that barrier. You kind of married
yeah.
the product at that point. So,
and that was another reason why I liked Black Rifle, is speaking with them. They keep a very close eye and they run a real tight ship as far as how they process and make their coffee.
I think keeping, well, and I don't know how big, or I mean, just generally, I haven't been to their facilities, but being kind of a mom and pop, maybe a smaller operation, they can pay more attention to the smaller details and intricacies of, you know, like you were saying, soaking, roasting, yeah. all of those things. To where a, you know, a Folgers has got to pump out a billion pounds of coffee, you know, a year. They're doing.
Or Greg's favorite, Starbucks.
He loves. He just can't sit in Starbucks without getting in trouble.
That's because I bring my iMac. I'm not getting in trouble. I just can't. No, I just can't sit in a Starbucks machine, right?
That's what I'm saying.
Right,
that's there. What I'm saying. We talked about that last week. That was awesome. That was good stuff.
Oh, man.
2 minutes. They were 911 was called in 2 minutes.
Yeah.
That's a rough one.
Yeah. New info is coming out.
And I think that's why the CEO issued the apology so fast. They were like, we're not getting out of this one.
Yeah, you know, it's a shitty thing that we even have to deal with any of this kind of stuff nowadays. But I think the problem therein rises, and I'm not shifting blame and not talking just about that particular
right. This incident. Is a general.
I think it's how you carry yourself and how you act will lead to how somebody else is going to perceive you and look at you and how they're going to react true. In a situation that's as true. Well. If you automatically have an attitude, like if I'm sitting at Starbucks and somebody asks me a question and I just completely ignore them and just do nothing mm-hmm. and just blow them off, like, okay, now you're going to be an asshole and now you're going to treat it like an asshole. Not saying that these guys did. I wasn't there.
Right.
And I don't cast judgment on things like this until I am the fly in the wall.
Right.
Right. And again... None of this stuff affects my life and affects my family as a whole and how they're going to eat, sleep, and pay the bills. Mm-hmm. But I still want them to be conscious of how they carry themselves.
Absolutely. You have to be. I coach my kids on that all the time. And, you know, it's I could talk for hours about this type of subject. It goes beyond. It is about presentation and reaction to your presentation. I agree with you there. But the thing is if you're a manager at a store that is a huge corporation.
Where your patrons are your lifeblood.
Yes. You have to, if you are not the type of person that's able to take somebody's bad attitude, cast it off, and then just do your job.
Exactly.
You're not fit for that job.
You don't belong in that position.
Listen, we've all worked, I think, you know, customer-facing jobs at some point.
Dairy Queen.
No, you're a Dairy Queen. I worked in the bars and the nightclubs for a bit, as did Paul. And you have to separate your emotions from that shitty customer.
Yeah.
They're always going to be there, guaranteed every single day. There's going to be at least one, more likely 10 of them.
And just don't do things that will escalate a situation.
Well, yeah, don't do that. Exactly. De-escalate,
just
you know?
Just remain calm. Like, so, just chill.
Yeah, that's an unfortunate thing. And really what this is not Starbucks. It's not a Starbucks issue. This is just a general society issue. And beyond that, it's about learning how to be a manager.
Right.
Being a manager isn't calling 911 because you don't like the answer that you got from the two guys that just walked in and sat down.
Yeah. Well, and that's not what a manager does. I think it should be noted too, a corporation like Starbucks, once you make it to a store manager level, I'm going to assume that there is maybe a week training that you have to attend in order to even be a Starbucks manager.
I would think there'd be quite a bit of training.
Yeah. Starbucks does do a lot of training.
They pay well. They have great benefits.
Right.
You know, in terms of compared to working at,
you can get healthcare being a barista. I know.
Oh, absolutely. That. I know. Yeah, I know that too. I've actually, you know, if you know anybody that's worked there, that's one of the reasons they're like, hey, it pays. And
so
you
get this is benefits. I think this is a personality error in this person. Yeah. Definitely.
She's just the example. That's all.
Well, I mean, just another reason for me not to like Starbucks as a whole. I mean, I honestly, when they came out, we're going to hire, how many, what was it, 10,000 immigrants or something?
Yeah, I don't know what that was.
Yeah, and that's the reason why I liked actually Black Rifle Coffee, too, because they came out and their response was, even on social media, well, you're going to hire those immigrants.
What's wrong with hiring immigrants?
We're going to hire 10,000 veterans.
The immigrants need jobs, too.
We're going to hire 10,000 veterans.
Yeah, I did like that answer. There's nothing wrong with that.
It's good.
I loved it. I thought it was great. And I love the fact that they're not sorry for being not sorry.
Yeah, I get you. That's good. That's exactly what they are.
And next time I go shooting, I'm going to see if I have this urge to drink.
You got to sip the coffee and then pull, and you got to draw and shoot and hit that target.
Well, had we not had the live audience, I would have pulled out the AK-47 and
nice
and the Glock.
Safety first here, is that what's going on?
Yep.
Well, I mean, you know, if you're going to enjoy a fine cup of coffee, you might as well enjoy a fine weapon.
Is pulling out an AK-47 okay these days?
Does that make you nervous?
No, I'm not talking about that. That's not that.
No, it
in America, we're talking about a Kalashnikov, right? The AK-47. Yeah. Are we beyond that now? We're cool with AKs?
I am.
All right. I'm just wondering. I'm keeping it real.
I could tell you because it's Nevada.
It's not a commie tool? No. I said it.
No.
Actually, there's a few companies stateside that make quote-unquote AK-47s.
Like I mean, knockoffs, probably.
But like
yeah, they're knockoffs.
All right.
The style of weapon.
Okay. I was just wondering. I just wanted to bring that up, you know.
I could tell if you want some looks, feel free to carry that around. You're going to make...
Carry any gun around, you're going to get looks. That's just natural.
I'll tell you, in Nevada, it's open carry. I've seen a lot more, definitely in the last 2 years, where... And most people just assume maybe they're a police officer or maybe undercover.
I don't at all. I don't assume any of that.
I get a kick out of looking at the 120-pound jackass that's carrying around a
45
Desert Eagle,
a 45 chrome plated with a pearl handle. I mean, come on, man.
That's cool. You got a $4,000 gun.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
And the kick of it will probably take his 120-pound self off of his feet.
Yeah. I don't know. If it was 1870 and I was in a saloon, everybody had a gun on their hip, you know, as they call it, the great equalizer. Cool.
You remember that picture I posted? I was in a CVS, and there was a gentleman who was in an older Mustang, got out, walked into CVS. He had a full six-shooter Western-style belt with two six-shooters, pearl handle, chrome, whatever.
Revolvers, right, yeah.
Revolvers. And obviously that's going to get some looks.
Right.
And you think, Greg and I were talking
about Yosemite Sam running up against some Mucinex
performer, because there are the people that perform where they do the whole little tricks and speed guns.
Wouldn't it be smarter not to carry those guns on you? Like just
maybe
grab it out the trunk when you pull when you park.
Maybe he was headed to somewhere and it's more pain in the ass to take it off than it is to just leave it on.
That's totally possible. I did not get near him to ask him.
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah. Exactly. I'm just good. I can do without that type of guy.
It's funny, like, this is the only thing I'm kind of like an ignorance is bliss type of thing. If you don't look like actual law enforcement, I don't want to see you walk around with your gun on your hip. I just don't. If you got a concealed carry, I don't even know. I like it better that way.
Well, that's the thing.
You know what I mean?
Conceal and carry.
That's what I'm saying. I like it better that way. I like it better that I don't know. Because the minute I see that gun on your hip, so does everybody else. And I don't want the look at me.
I don't know how stable you are.
You are, or the person behind you in line in the grocery store that can snatch it out of your holster.
Yeah. No, I'm with you.
I don't trust any of that.
No.
I trust the person. If I know you, cool.
Yeah, more people that I've run into that do that and carry a weapon like that, they don't respond the greatest to scenarios.
Yeah.
As far as attitude-wise and stress response and things like that.
I've done it one time. And I will tell you, I did it this one time for a specific reason. We were at a fireworks booth at Boulder and Trop.
Okay. I would have illegally open carried there myself.
But
that's a fine area.
But here's the thing: is we're doing a fundraiser, and the July 3rd,
right,
me and two of my buddies would sit out there, and we would do a 24-hour shift. And you know, the first year we did it, we was like, oh, we're going to be cool out here. We had some police officer friends come through. We went to high school with, shout out L-Dog. And one of them is a Henderson police officer. The other is Henderson SWAT. And they rolled up. Boo! The one Henderson police officer was off duty. He hung out with us for a while, but he had, you know, whatever he needed in his bag right there.
Right.
Anybody suspect rolled up. I mean, you know, he was just had his eyes open, as police officers do. And then the SWAT guy rolled up in his green big old truck and whoop, whoop, and fired him up. And then you see kind of people like walk in other directions. And he got out. Super cool.
Well,
super
that's not
cool
difficult on Boulder. Right? Yeah. You...
Yeah, no. We might have lost a little bit of business when he did that. But, no, the next year, and no joke, every single person just assumed it was a fundraising booth for police officers. I mean, it's they just like, oh, okay. It. Oh, you got, oh, cool. You guys got that. Oh, okay. Yeah. Must be cops.
Right.
So it's different. It's really weird. But it is, I agree with you guys. It's, I'd rather sight unseen and than nobody's uneasy.
I just go the other way when I see it. I'm like, oh, go this way.
Yeah.
I'm good. You can go get me in a Costco situation.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I think we got to wrap it up.
Yeah, wrap it up, B.
Wrap it up, B. I
want to thank Paul for coming by for the second time.
Well, thank you guys again.
Hopefully this one is fine in post and we can actually get it
I
up.
Think it's, on the... I think it's going to be awesome. Yeah, I've been watching... shout out to the people who make Audio Hijack.
That'd be Rogue Amoeba. RogueAmoeba.com.
Don't need to do that because this is twice now where we have been able to function and use the system and not have any issues. And I'm sold.
Yeah, it's great. It's a great, you know, I'm sure there's something, quote, better and more complicated out there to use, but that's not what we're interested in.
Yeah.
Because we've already crossed that bridge.
Yeah.
And it was ugly.
Any shout outs, Paul?
Oh, let's give a shout out to. I gotta give a shout out to my wife.
Absolutely. Man, this guy 100%. Is good. This guy's good.
100%.
Hey, if
will you
if,
give a shout out to my wife while we're on here too?
And I'll give a shout out to Jody. Give
thank
a
you.
Shout
out oh, to, you can say her name.
Yeah, you're out there. You're on. Famous. Now. But hey,
famous now.
If wifey is with you, who can be against you?
Yep.
I'm glad that quote got brought back up.
I like that.
I like that.
I would.
I'm like still trying to think who could be against me.
I don't know.
You don't dwell on that. I'll dwell on it. Go ahead. What were you going
to
say?
Shout out to our live studio audience today. I get to see my sister like twice a year. So
yeah,
this is really cool that she's here.
Fresh out the Pacific Northwest.
Yep. And two shout outs. I got to meet two people this week, Dizzy Wright and Lacey K. Summers. I thought they were awesome and like very professional people. So.
You're dropping names like the game too?
Well, we're going to put them in the show notes, the link over. So might as well.
I don't have any shout out. Paul just shouted out my wife because I asked him to, so that kind of leaves me. Shout out to the rest of my family who won't be listening to the podcast.
Oh, they will.
Marcus might. I don't think he'd. I think it's too boring for him. So,
the day it drops, I called the wife at work.
Mm-hmm.
She goes, "You're interrupting the podcast."
Ooh, solid.
And I said, "All right, I'll call you back in 20 minutes. Let me know when you're
call
free.
You back in an hour 43 right. when it's over."
I like it. So, no, that was pretty cool.
All right. Well, cool.
Cool. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you, guys.
Oh, shout out. Hold on. Shout out to Wyatt Poole with Royal Crawl. I think it's Royal Crawl on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. They do a bar crawl series. They usually have it over at Red Rock on Friday nights. And it's actually a pretty cool thing. You pay $20. They have an app you download on the iTunes or Android store. And you pay $20 and you do like a 5-bar crawl. And so each bar you go to, you get a drink. It's included in that $20 fee. And then you get a card like you're playing poker within the app. And at the end of the night, the person that has the highest hand, the winning hand, gets like, I don't know, some type of prize. I don't know, like they get like gift certificates and things like that. So it's actually a pretty cool thing. It was the first time I went. They've been pushing it for about a year now. It was the first time I went for Wyatt's birthday. Happy birthday to Wyatt. And I actually don't regret going because I went and I was like, this is actually a really cool concept. And I'd like to see some growth on that. So if you guys are ever bored on a Friday night, you want to go to Red Rock Station, I know is where they have it at now before they, you know, they're trying to expand into other markets. Go out there, man, and check them out. Again, it's called Royal Crawl. And I'll put that in the show notes because I'm not 100% sure about where they're located everywhere. But
well, once I drop these bladder full of stones.
Got a bladder full of stones.
I will come out and hang with you
on this crawl. Yeah, we'll go do one, man.
Right on.
So,
I have to just close out or, I guess, give a shout out to all the trainers, PTs, strength coaches, and athletes that they use the trainers' room products.
Smart.
Shout out to the UFC.
Yes.
Because we are the
official.
The official tape and gauze manufacturer for the UFC.
A lot of people don't know that.
Celebrity.
True.
Maybe I should have threw that in.
This guy knows a couple of people.
Yep.
This guy knows just a handful. It's quality, not quantity, though, my friends.
Great first guest.
So, all right. Thanks for coming on, Paul.
Thank you,
Paul. See you next week.
We'd like to take a few seconds to thank you, the Coffee Talkie podcast listeners. We just want to let you know that we appreciate all of the support, downloads, comments, and feedback you've given us so far. Also, be sure to check us out on social media, at Coffee Talkie on Twitter and Instagram, and The Coffee Talkie on Facebook. And of course, you can find us on the interwebs at coffeetalkie.com. Hit us in the DMs.